comes from Romans chapter 12. I'd direct your attention to Romans 12, verses 9 through 21. 9 through 21. And if you don't have your Bible with you, the words will appear on the screen behind me, or they should at least. If not, I will bless you with the most angelic voice as I... Of course, we're right in the middle of our vision series, and this may be familiar to you. Some of you may have come anticipating what the third week of our vision may entail. Others are just in the slog of normal rhythms, and you're here because you're going to be here no matter what. And so I welcome you today with grace and hopefully with hospitality as we explore what it means to be hospitable to one another. This is the nurture part of our vision statement. And for those of you that have come this morning with no knowledge or normal rhythms of worshiping with New Beginnings Church, allow me to catch you up to speed. Our vision is stated as such, that we are living out God's redemptive purposes here. One more time, living out God's redemptive purposes here. This is a new and fresh take on an old ancient vision, one that we can trace back all the way back through the history of God's gathered people, all the way to the beginning of Genesis. So not just for the church, but also for all worshipers of the one true God, that redemption is something that is at the heartbeat, the pulse of whom our Father is, our Creator is. And so for us to say we're living out God's redemptive purposes is for us to swear our covenant with the worshipers of God from all time. Right? So it's an ancient vision. It's a fresh take on an ancient vision. It's a fresh take on the way that we've expressed who we are as New Beginnings Church since we started 25 years ago. Along the way, from 25 years ago to now, at some point, we picked up an acronym on our name, NEW. And we said those letters in the word NEW, they stand for nurture, embodiment, and worship. We've said that. I don't know. Nathan, do you remember when we started doing that? I think it was with Shane. Is that right? Or was it with Dan? It was with Shane. Shane was smart enough. Dan wasn't smart enough to come up with an acronym. Shane was. I'm just kidding. I don't even know Dan. That's not fair for me to say that. I'm sure he's a real smart guy. But it was a few years ago that Pastor Shane led us to start thinking of our name as standing for nurture, embodiment, and worship. And so me, as your new pastor, a year old, we're learning to stand on our own two feet together, pastor and congregation. We're not the same as we used to be, and in some ways we're better. And in some ways we're smaller. In other ways, we're healthier, but it's new, it's fresh. And so we're learning to say ancient things together in fresh ways. We're learning to embrace the past in fresh ways. Some of the past really good, some of the past a little different and a little odd. But we're learning to embrace all of it together in this fresh articulation as we move forward as pastor and congregation together. And this is how we're saying it, that we're here living out God's redemptive purposes through the practices of nurture, embodiment, and worship. Last week we talked about worship, and this week we're going to talk about nurture. Please excuse me that I don't know good order. I'm ADD. I can't go 1, 2, 3. I go 3, 1, 2. And so we started the acronym with the last letter last week. We're the first letter this week. Worship last week, nurture this week. I've never been good at following order. And so, well, with that, this morning's message, the prayer that was just mentioned about loving those that are hard to love in an unlovable society, I think our passage of Scripture gets right at that beautiful prayer. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Let's listen to the word of the Lord together. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, we love this verse, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, I think what Paul is saying here is, don't take vengeance on your enemies. Leave your enemies' fate to the Lord. Instead, if they're hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. As challenging as this scripture may be, we are right to say this is the word of the Lord. With a question mark sometimes, right? Thanks be to God. You sure I can't hate my enemies? You sure? Yeah, but we say and we confirm that this scripture is being read over and written over us in new and fresh ways, changing who we used to be. Praise be to God. Well, I want to catch you up on a few things. I had a bright idea, so I'm not feeling very well this morning. So if you're a praying person, which I think a lot of us prayed this morning, I think a lot of us are. If you're a praying person, would you please pray for me that I don't puke in the middle of my sermon? I'm not feeling good. And I think it could be one of two things. It could be a stupid decision that I made last night that. I'm trying to train for this marathon, half marathon, not full marathon. I'm trying to train for a half marathon in a couple weeks. And last night, it was scheduled to be my longest run of my training period. So this is the longest I'm going to run. Usually when I do training on time. So I'll go out and run for a certain amount of time. This year, I've changed it up, and I'm running on mileage. And so I was supposed to run 11 miles. So I went to Longview Lake. And ran around Longview a little bit, and just the whole setting. You guys are familiar with Longview, I'm sure. It's just down 3rd Street here, just to the east of west of us. A beautiful location. They're running a triathlon there this morning. All the triathlon stuff is set up. I wasn't able to get out yesterday morning, so it was late last night. It was as the sun was setting, or had already set, actually. And I started and ran clear through into the darkness, running around Longview Lake. But all of it was just the temperature. The sun had dropped, and it was nice, and it was cool. And I'm a very, very competitive person. And being around the triathletes and all of the equipment and stuff, it made me want to run faster to prove my worth to the 4 people that were out at Longview Lake and the few fishermen that were around. And so from 7:30 to 9 p.m. last night, I ran around an 11-mile jog around Longview Lake, running running 26 seconds faster than my goal pace for the marathon for all 11 miles. I negative split. I don't know if any of you are runners, but negative split means your successive miles are all faster than the one before it. And so my second mile was faster than the first. My third mile was faster than the second and first. My fourth mile, my fifth mile, all the way to 11th mile was the fastest mile I ran at the end. And I'm feeling awesome. Man, I'm feeling great. I ran by a party, and I'm sure I felt like I looked a lot better than what I actually looked. There was a barbecue happening, and I'm like trucking by them. Woo-hoo, look at me, you know. And then when I got done, like everything stopped working. I could barely walk. I could barely get off the couch. And it's 9 o'clock at night, and I'm thinking I got to preach in the morning. Why did I do that? That is so dumb. I had no time to recover, and I didn't. I hadn't had a big dinner, and I didn't eat well afterwards. And so on Sunday mornings, I'm always up really early. And so because I got done running, I'm giving you this big, long story. I promise, I hope that this all ties in. And if not, receive it with grace. I'm not feeling well this morning. I woke up, I went to bed late. I went to bed after midnight and woke up early. And I wasn't feeling good because my body hadn't had a chance to recover. I hadn't had enough sleep. I hadn't had enough food. I didn't have enough protein. And so I fed my body with Hardee's this morning. Dumb. I told you I made bad decisions. All right. You've been there, right? I made bad decisions. And so I'm hoping what I'm feeling right now is just bad decisions and not like the flu is what I'm hoping here. And hopefully bad decision doesn't come out this morning. It all stays together. That's what we're hoping for. Speaking of the sickness, though, if you're familiar with our church family, most of us are, you know that it's very likely that I may be sick. In fact, we're missing people this morning because of that, because of sickness. We've passed it around. Now, I think a few ladies, were there a few of you that came and cleaned all of our equipment on Saturday? Just Lana. Thank you, Lana. Thank you. Came and Lysoled everything down, so we should all be safe, okay? We should all be safe. People with kids in the nursery. You should be safe. It's all clean, okay? But it's interesting that we've been passing the sickness around to one another. I think it's evidence of our closeness to one another. It's evidence that at this church, you know, we're not the church down the street with 15 services and 5,000 person membership, if that church even exists down the street. We're not that church. We're a small little group of people that love each other so much that we can't stop hanging out with one another. And we keep passing sickness to one another because we can't quit each other. We're just always around one another. And so in some ways, my sickness this morning may reflect poor decisions made between 7:30 and 7:30 in that 12-hour span. Or it could be a reflection that we just live life close together. And it's living life close together that I want to talk to you about this morning, the benefit of a life lived in close relationship with one another. Not the type of relationship that just knows one another, the type of relationship that is drawn in to one another. Last week, we did a good deal. I'm going to do some review on the whiteboard. I think it will help us. Last week, we did a good deal of talking of the patterns of worship in our service and how the way that we choose to worship at New Beginnings Church, how we feel like that shapes us. Look at that. Brand new start. Yeah, new beginning. Yeah. We did a good deal of talking about how the patterns of worship that we do, how they have a rhythm, and how this rhythm helps tell a story. And so we're deliberate in the rhythms we choose and how to worship on Sunday morning, thinking, Deb, that it's the most central thing that we do. We believe that when we come together on Sunday morning for worship, that we're being gathered in to the presence of God, and that we are being brought into the heart of God. In a lot of ways, like running, I would associate it with running, actually. That what's happening when we're out at Longview Lake, burning up our legs, panting and running as fast as we can, what's happening is that the heart is pumping in new cells into our lungs. And it's increasing cardiovascular activity. See, I had no idea. I'll just tell you just a little quick story because I can tell you're so excited to hear it. That anyone been out on Shearer Road? It's on the back side of Longview Lake, and there's that big hill, okay? There's a huge, it's the biggest hill around Longview Lake. It's big, massive. It's about a mile long. Well, a couple weeks ago, I decided in my training, because I'm not very smart, Deb, that I decided in my training that I would go out there like 5:30 in the morning, and I would run it three times. Three times up, three times down, so a 6-mile hill workout, 1 mile straight up, and I would run the straight up portions hard, fast for me, fast, slow for you, probably fast for me, and I would run them fast, and what happened in that moment was I hated my life and everything around me. That was active. That was happening. Kevin, you ever feel that way when you're working out and you're pushing yourself? It's just, I was like, why am I doing this? Why am I alive right now? And the other thing that happened was I was training my body. I was training my body for a run that I would make 2 weeks later at 7:30 at night. And I wasn't aware of it. I wasn't necessarily thinking about it. But when I turned the corner on mile 3 to Shear Road, which I had ran successively 3 times in a row, 2 weeks ago, when I got there, my body knew exactly what was coming. My body knew what was coming better than my mind knew. And my goal pace, I'll just tell you this because I think it may connect. My goal pace for the marathon is 8:25 a mile. I made that hill run last night, the 1 mile up at 7:45 a mile. One, I was running way too fast. But two, my body was ready for something that my mind didn't think I was capable of because it had been trained. And see, and in that training just 2 weeks prior to that, the whole time that I'm running and hating my life for it because I'm experiencing and feeling metamorphosis within myself, and it doesn't always feel good when you're changing and you can feel that you're changing and environments around you. It doesn't always feel good. But what I was feeling was a physical change that would allow me to go stronger and better the next time around. And I had no idea until yesterday. I'm running, and I'm like, that may be slow for you, but for me, that's pretty fast. And I'm like, I am flying up this hill. It felt great. And then here's another thing that happened after that, Nathan. It's that every mile after that mile got faster. It got faster after that. Whoa, something that happened 2 weeks ago preparing me for this. Now, the goal of all this would be that my body is ready for June 3rd, not May 13th. So hopefully I didn't peak too soon. We believe that what's happening when we gather for worship is that we are training ourselves for something that our minds and even emotions may not always be able to comprehend. That when we gather underneath the Lordship of Jesus Christ and we say, thanks be to God, when the word of God is read over us, that we're training our bodies and we're training ourselves into the spirit of the Lord's worship, that we are now different people because we are submitting to the rhythms of the church and the stories of God's people over long periods of time. This is probably most clearly seen. And again, I guess I apologize for repeating so much of what we talked about last week, but it's important to contextualize this for when we get to talk about what we're going to talk about this morning. We clearly see this when we come to the Lord's table. Real briefly, what will happen in this moment, and we'll do it in just a second, is that we'll bless the elements, we'll talk about them, we'll mark their significance, and then you will stand up and you will physically walk to the table. You will come into the presence of the table. And there'll be servers here on either side, and they will give you the body and bread of our Lord, and you will digest, you will take into your physical body the meaning and significance of God's grace for you. And then you will walk back to your seats, and in that way, you are coming in to the Lord's presence and exiting back out into your lives. It's this constant taking in and sending out, taking in and sending out. Our whole entire service is designed as a rhythm for us to be gathered in and to be sent out, to come into the Lord's presence and to be sent out. It's this missional, just kind of think of it as this cardiovascular exercise of the Lord's people. You're inhaling the breath that you need, and it's changing the blood cells within your body to be people of grace, so that when you exhale, you're being sent back out into the world to be that grace. And so this morning we heard a prayer, a beautiful and wonderful prayer that asked us to have the strength to love people in an unlovable society. Well, how in the world do we learn to love that way? If you came this morning so I could give you tips, you'll be disappointed. You heard more about running than you've heard about tips how to love someone. If you're expecting yourself to pull your own self up by your bootstraps and to go about doing good, you probably disappointed yourself this week when you used those words, didn't you? Or when you thought those words, didn't say them, but you thought them. You probably disappointed yourself this week, didn't you? Or the way that we react to the news, or the way that we react to our brother, or the way that we're reacting right within this room to real people sitting in here. I don't think this is just another fancy way of saying, I don't think we're capable of it. I don't think you're capable of loving one another. And I don't think I'm capable of teaching you how to do that. I think that this is a grace that we do not earn. I think it is a grace that we receive. And through coming time and time again to the very elements, to the very place in which this grace lives and reigns, and submit ourselves to it. And that way we are all like runners in this race, giving our bodies to the practice of metamorphosis, to the practice of being changed, to the practice of letting God come in and reign within our hearts, so that all that is within us is sanctified and set apart, not by the will of our own human desire, but by the will of God. What we're talking about here is a letting love, not the love we can't imagine, but the love that comes to us from outside of us. The same love that created the heavens and the earth. The same love that cultivated the garden so that we could have sustenance from their produce. The same love that gave life to human beings. The same love that entered into a manger scene. If you're not familiar with the gospel story, I think most of us are, but if you're not, we believe that God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit became incarnate through God's Son, Jesus Christ. So in that way, that's the world. If I were to ask you to place God on this map, right, just like in a very elementary way, if you were still in elementary school, and I were to ask you to place God on this in relation to the world, or if I ask you to place heaven in relation to the world, where would you have me draw heaven? All around the world. Or if you were in third grade, where would you have me place above it, right? And below it would be something else that began with an H, right? This is what we think, right? And so in the incarnation story, what we're told is that God enters the world into it, comes from above, outside what we can imagine, beyond and above what we can comprehend. And God comes into this. Is the love, Deb, that we are referring to this morning. This love that is not capable of our own, not one that we can produce, but a love that comes into us through our living out and through our practice of giving ourselves to God's story. And it is this love, like blood cells within our lungs, that changes us. So don't be disappointed that you don't see the change this morning. Might I remind myself, as I remind you, Don't be disappointed that we don't look the way that we expect ourselves to look this morning. Might I remind myself, as I remind you, that this takes time. Takes time, like 2 weeks ago, training for hills that I did not know would produce a faster time than I could have ever expected. That this takes time. Who knows what you're practicing this morning that you're getting ready for just a few days or a few weeks down the road. That when we come together and we submit to the Lord's teaching, when we come together and we submit to one another, we're being changed within the metamorphosis of that very relationship. That relationship of submitting to God and that relationship of submitting to one another. I think the kids are ready. Brenda, would you just let them in here? They are so ready to be in here, and they're going to come in during the best part of the sermon. And we can just welcome the kids in. This is part of what I want to talk to you about this morning. Hi, Jaden. Hi, guys. Hi, Kai. Come on in here. Sorry you had to sit outside. Come on in. Hi, Grace. Hi, yeah, welcome. Yeah, you are welcome here. And so this morning's passage, so kids, you weren't in here for this, you were hearing your own lesson. But in our lesson, we read a passage out of the book of Romans chapter 12 that gave us a lot of instructions on how to live. The heart of this passage is at the very beginning, where it says, let love be genuine. Specifically, what it's saying here is, let love be not hypocritical. Don't let your love be hypocritical. Let it be genuine. This is the heart of every other command that comes after it. And the commands were a lot, and they're summed up in love your neighbor as yourself. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and love the neighbor as yourself. This is the heart of what Paul is saying. But the main crux of it is love. Love. And for you this morning, the way I want us to begin to think about our vision of nurture into one another is letting love be the source of what we do. Not the type of love we can produce, but the type of love in which we submit to one another. I want to give three diagrams because I really want to do that because I think it will help connect. And then a couple words there, and then we'll be done and move into the Eucharist. But the first week, the diagram that we used to talk about our vision was a diagram of success. That if you were to diagram success, most often it looks like a chart that moves from the left to the right. This is how we would say success. Once I was an 8-minute and 30-second runner. Now I'm a 7-minute and 59-second runner. I am a faster runner. I am now up to the right, always getting better. This is success, right? But the Christian story doesn't look like this story. The Christian story looks more like this. A chart that goes up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. And through the midst of a chart that goes up and down is a God that moves within the ebbs and flows and meets us when we're down and meets us when we're up and kind of takes the whole thing and redeems it. I would label a chart like this faithfulness. That what we're after at New Beginnings Church is not success. If part of our story looks like this, praise be to God, right? Awesome. Fantastic. But we're not after success. So if you're new today, wondering what New Beginnings Church is about, and you're looking for a place to go and be successful, there's a great church in Houston, Texas. You can watch the pastor on TV. I'm not worried about success. I'm worried about faithfulness. Will we remain faithful? Last week, we talked about the rhythms of the worship service and how it's an ebb and flow, even within the worship service, that we come to a point where we gather underneath the Lordship of Christ, and we sing some songs, and we listen to some confessions, and we say the Apostles' Creed, and it moves us into the Word. and we listen to the sermon that the preacher has prepared for the day, and we listen to scripture, and we receive the very word of God, and then we have some responses that moves us into a time of thanksgiving. And we receive the Eucharist. We said, praise be to God, thank you for your grace. And out of the Eucharist, then we're moved into a time of dismissal. In which we're sent into the world. And so, I want to add one more chart. Next week will be the last of our vision series, and then you don't have to worry about it again until January. But this chart is about success. This chart is about the rhythms of learning God's grace. Okay? Faithfulness, rhythms of grace, and now relationships. Don Bishop helped me with this model. I want to think about our church as a bullseye. All right. I want to think about our church as three circles that kind of have levels almost that kind of come in to one another. At the center of this would be our heart. This would be the core of who we are. And out of our heartbeat, it's what's pumping blood into the life of the rest of our church, right? And outside of our heart, what's being pumped life and blood into the rest of our limbs, what's on the outside here would be more of our programmatic things. They would be like Sunday school, okay? We do have Sunday school. We're such an old school Nazarene church. We do have Sunday school. We have youth group here. They would be discipleship practices like prayer, even someday down the road, maybe organized small groups, right? We're learning that God redeems all things. So if small groups to you is a cuss word because it makes you think that something awful is going to happen within your small group, just know that God is redeeming that part of our story too. Okay, so if we decide to do small groups at some point in our life, what we're not inviting us to do is to make the same mistakes we made a few years ago. All right, just want to be very clear that God redeems all things, all movements of our story. I don't want anyone to freak out because I wrote the word small groups up here. Okay, that out of the heart, out of the core of who we are, it pumps blood and life into the meaning of the very programmatic things that we do. And then on the outside, the outskirts of things here, this would be more the relationship types of stuff that gets us introduced into the community. It'd be like what's coming up here on June 10th, our block party. It'd be like the Wednesday night things that we're going to do throughout the summer called Wacky Wednesdays. Every Wednesday, a fun activity for the whole family. And it might be something like the fish fry that happened the Friday before Holy Week. I'm trying to think here. Hey, yeah, there we go. See, now you're clicking. Here we are, VBS. Ah, it'd be like game night. Yeah. What'd you say, Christy? Yes, that's right. Thanks, miss. Absolutely. That would be in the middle. Friendsgiving? Feast with friends. Yes, the monthly thing. Yeah, that's kind of like both. Yeah. So let me explain this chart just real quick and give you hopefully some holy encouragement, and we'll move on with the rest of the service. I'm not really concerned with models. However, sometimes pictures help us. For me, I'm such a visual person. A picture helps me understand what it is that we're talking about. But if in the life of New Beginnings Church, if it looks something like our first point of contact is in the middle, and our last point of contact is something on the outside, that's okay. I don't really care about models. I don't care that we do this thing like exactly here. We can look however the way God wants us to look. I'm really open to that, and that's okay. And that even includes worship. If we start doing spontaneous things within worship, and as long as we're praising God and giving the Lord our praise, and we're gathering and we're giving thanks and we're listening to the word and we're being dismissed, as long as those things are happening, I'm okay with it. I'm not really too concerned about models. What I'm mostly concerned about, Christy, is faithfulness. What I'm concerned about is faithfulness. And I think what happens here, and what I want us to take seriously, is that when we love one another, when we love one another, our lives are changed. And when we open our heart and receive one another, what comes inside of us is the gift and grace of the other. And it's the very relationship of the other that changes our perspective. And so when we open our life up to someone that we don't understand, if that person may be an enemy or just a weirdo or just someone that's really, really odd, it could be someone we oppose, it may be someone that sits on a different aisle politically than us, it may be someone that sits on a different aisle socially than us, but when we open our life up to the person that's not like us, it's like when we go run and our body changes through exercise. When we open our heart up to the very people that aren't like us, it changes us to see life differently. It changes us from the inside. And so, I think what Paul's message for us this morning is, that when he says, let your love be genuine, he's talking about the love that is at the very source of all of life. The love that comes from God that creates all things. And that very love is alive in the other. It's alive in the stranger. It's alive in the homeless. It's alive in the political person that is different than you. It's alive. God's love is alive in all folks. What I want New Beginnings Church to be is a church that begins to find points of contact to let our congregation, to let our lives be one that's opened up to all people. To those that are different than us. To those that voted different than us. And to accept one another. And to be respectful of one another. And to listen to one another. To submit to them. To allow them to come in and maybe even change who we are. Whoa, easy now. What I'm saying is, don't preach the gospel and then love differently than the gospel. Don't be hypocritical with your love. Just in the same ways that you come down to the center of the aisle and receive the elements, what would it look like for us to treat our own relationships in the same way, in which I were to go to Will Chambers, and instead of demanding that Will be like me, I were to go and I were to receive Will's friendship, not take Will's friendship? How might that change me? If I were to go to someone like Drew Simon, who I'm just wildly different than Drew, we're just the most opposite people in the world, but that's not true. But if I were to go to Drew and instead of take his friendship, I were to receive his friendship, how might that change who we are? And so these little concentric circles here, what they represent is points of contact in which we can get to know the very people that aren't like us. Friends, I desire for the day when our church isn't the same people that have been worshiping at this church for 5 years straight. I love you. I love you. We have a responsibility to one another. God called me to pastor you. God did not call me to pastor the people across the street. He called me to pastor you. I love you. I want to pastor you. But I think we're missing something in the life of our church when in 1 year's time, there's only about 6 new people. I think we're missing something. I think there's something about opening our lives up to the people that aren't like us that we're not doing well. And I want to encourage us. You're some of the most loving people I know. I want all of Lee Summit to know who you are because you're some of the most loving people that we know. But when we're not growing, I wonder if it's because we're not getting to know the people and the neighbors around us. And so I wanted to encourage us this morning through the book of Romans. Let's not let our love be hypocritical. Instead, let us get out through all sorts of means. So whether it's through the block party that Perdeo is throwing, or through it's getting engaged with one of our non-for-profit partners, or one of our business partners, or if it's getting engaged in some of the cool stuff we do like Thanksmas or Wacky Wednesdays. This stuff doesn't exist just for us. The things that we do out here on the outside circle, this isn't just so New Beginnings can keep having a party with one another. I don't want us to be that, Sammy. I mean, I really love you. I really, really love you. But VBS isn't for Hadley Edwards. If Hadley Edwards is the only person that shows up to VBS, man, I'm inclined to feel like we failed. The VBS is for Hadley Hadley Edwards, that's my daughter. VBS is for Hadley Edwards, but it's also for Hadley's friends. For us to get to know and to practice this radical hospitality that would cast us into lives that are not like us. That would demand that we listen. That would demand that we practice grace. And so church, this can't just be Jody Light's mission. And it can't just be Pastor Megan's mission. And I come to you worn out and tired 1 year in this, and I don't know if I'll be able to do many more years. Because I can't be a business manager and a pastor at the same time. Church, we need to be committed to one another to the point that we're not just asking one person to do all of this. We need help. And we need to help one another. And we need help in our children's ministry. We need help in our youth ministry. Did you know there's not one adult volunteer that's not in seminary that doesn't help with youth? Not one. We need to do something different. And I'm not interested in yelling at you because I yell at myself all week long about stuff like this. It doesn't go over well with me. I'm sure it wouldn't go over well with you. Other than just to name the fact that as a church, we're a small church that requires a lot of help and we need each other to open each other up and to see the picture of why we do the things they do and what happens when we do them. We draw each other in, we're changed by the life of fellowship that we have with one another, and we're sent back out. We gather people in, we're changed by our fellowship, and we're sent back out. It's like the runner whose oxygen is taken in through his lungs, and the heart beats new cells into his lungs, and the runner is made stronger. I think we're made stronger when we breathe in worship, and we're made stronger when we breathe in one another and sent back out.